Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode. Well, good morning. How is everybody doing? It's good to see you. It's good to be here together. My name's Chris. I'm the campus pastor here, and we are starting a brand new teaching series today called The Rules of Resilience. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about what does it mean to be resilient and how do we find a sense of resilience in life, because I probably don't have to convince any of you that sometimes there's some challenges and some obstacles and things don't always go as planned. Okay, we're all on the same page. Great. So I'll skip my intro. That cuts 10 minutes out of the sermon. 55 minutes left. No, I was kidding. It's a reality. Things don't go as planned, and there's challenges and there's obstacles. And so what do we do when things get in the way? How do we approach that? One of the things that we really believe at South Hills is that there are things that only God can do, and then there are things that God relies on us to do. He invites us into the process. And so as we talk about this conversation, I want to talk about it from a perspective and from a place where we're saying, hey, this is not about saving ourselves. This is about us taking the steps that we need to take to pursue the things that either God has called us to do, God's inviting us to do, or maybe it's just a dream or a passion or a desire that you have, and you want to be able to achieve or accomplish those things. And so that's what we're talking about today. And what do we do when something gets in the way of that dream, that desire? This was a real-life experience for me yesterday, our Saturday morning. It was one of those very rare Saturdays for us where we had the first half of the day, there was nothing going on. And so we all just were as lazy as could possibly be. Our kids, it was some freak accident, and they were playing and getting along together downstairs. It was beautiful. And so Ez and I were just lounging and catching up on TV shows. And we got to a point where I was getting pretty hungry and like, you know what we should probably do? Let's order bagels from our favorite bagel place called Shirley's Bagels. They've got incredible bagel sandwiches and breakfasts. And it didn't take much convincing for my wife to get on board with that plan. And so we ordered, but they don't do delivery. So I was like, okay, well, somebody's going to have to go pick this up in 25 minutes. And we kind of just look at each other. I was like, well, we'll deal with that problem when we get there. So we keep watching our show, and then all of a sudden I realize it's been 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, we got to go get this food. And as my wife, she's like, I'll get it. And she's kind of been dealing with a little bit of a head cold, and I'm, you know, very chivalrous. And so I said, no, I'll go get it. You know, it's like, it's fine. She's like, no, it's okay. Like, you've had a busy week. I'll go get the bagels. And so she, like, gets the blanket off of her and goes, like, she's going to stand up. And I'm like, no, Ez, let me do this. And she's like, okay. And so she lays back down, and she's like, I put them under your name. I was just conned. You never planned on getting the bagels. You put them under my name from the very beginning. Anyways, I got the bagels. But there's this thing, and it's a silly story, and a lot of times with these silly stories, they're able to help us understand a bigger point. And it doesn't really matter how inspired we might be in a moment to choose something, to say, I want something, I want to go a certain direction, I want to accomplish this, I want to get bagels for breakfast, whatever it is. The inspiration happens in a moment, and it's great, but inspiration quickly fades. There's a time when you got to get out of bed and drive to the bagel shop. There's a time when you have to say, hey, I wanted to pursue my master's degree or my bachelor's degree, and now I'm taking classes and working full-time, and it's a lot. There's time when these obstacles come up, these challenges, these things that make the idea that you had or the dream or the calling, the passion, it makes total sense. And it's not that you don't want it. It's just that eventually the inspiration fades. And there's something called determination, which is great. And determination is a really, really good thing. And determination, in my experience, it mostly helps us get through the steps of accomplishing the thing. It helps us get through the, maybe I would say the expected or the planned steps. Okay, I know I'm going to have to carve out some additional time to study every night because I'm taking these classes in addition to working. Or, okay, I know I'm trying to start my own business while I'm also working at another company, so I know I'm going to have to end up doing a little bit of work on the weekends. So that determination helps us get through the steps that we can expect or assume or plan on being there. But eventually, the floor falls out from underneath us. Eventually, something, you know, life drops something off on our front porch, and it's just this is not the plan. This is bigger than what I thought. This is a bigger problem, a bigger challenge. It takes all of the wind out of our sails and then some. And what do we do? Sometimes it's smaller things. Sometimes it's bigger things. And the other reality is that sometimes these obstacles that we come up to face to face with, they're hard things that are either maybe thrown at us, like these unexpected things, a health diagnosis, relational trauma, career fallout. It could be something that life kind of throws us a curveball, or it could just be a really big thing that we choose to do, a hard thing that we're passionate about, something that we want to accomplish, and they end up looking like these massive obstacles in front of us, these huge walls. There's really can't possibly be a way to get around or get through or get over this. Resilience is one of these things we're going to be talking about, and there's a few different components to resilience. You're not going to get a full picture on any one of these Sundays, but each one of these components is an important piece, and I want to give us maybe some common language around this idea of what resilience is. The ability to withstand and recover from difficulty. So this is, I've been through it and I came out the other side. I'm still here. There's a durability aspect of I've made it through this challenging thing or these difficult things. The second one is the capacity to be stretched and challenged. This happens a lot. There's this reality of things just don't always go the way that we plan on them going. How many planners are in the room? Yeah, so you are also probably the least resilient people in the room. No, I'm just kidding. But there is this flexibility thing. It's very frustrating. And I realize I have to mope. I have to give myself like 10 minutes to mope about things not going the way I planned. And then I'm like, okay, let's get on with the show. And then the third one is the willingness to evolve and adjust to new situations, the adaptability aspect. And these are all different components of resilience. And it's such a crucial thing because even as I'm reading these things, you probably have relationships or situations at work or life or goals, dreams that you have that fall into these categories. And so what does it look like for us to be able to practically grow and move into a more resilient life? I was thinking about this, one of the things, the curveballs that life threw us, it was about 7 months after my wife and I got married. I got very suddenly laid off. And as a person who's been married for 7 months, that's not a great feeling. It's like this sense of, wait, this wasn't in the plan. It was an unexpected situation. There was a lot of internal stuff that I was wrestling with, guilt or shame about, man, I'm not even able to provide for my wife and myself and all these different things. And what does it look like to be able to push through those things? Some of the things that we've chosen to do in the past where we've had these obstacles show up. My wife and I, we've had some financial goals, different seasons, different goals. And one of these seasons, we were working really hard on getting out of debt. And I remember we had made all of this progress. And then we had this emergency come up with our car. And so then we had to pay all this money to get our car fixed. And it was like this huge setback. And I was like, well, we've already been set back. I might as well get those new clothes that I've been holding off on, And you're probably laughing because you've been in that same situation. It's like, well, everything's falling apart. Let's just go shopping. But again, there's like the planned and the unplanned. There's the fallout that happens, and then there's also the dreams or the things that we choose to pursue. And we can end up in this endless spiral. I wanted to talk about this and just kind of get an idea because I think there's an aspect of this that we might not realize we actually go through. But you know, there's at the top of this, there's an idea, a realization of something that you need to do, maybe something you want to do, a dream or a passion that you want to pursue. You set these big goals of what you want to be able to accomplish. Maybe you get some inspiration. You start following some new influencers on Instagram. You know, maybe I've talked about this before. I've bought two different pairs of running shoes in the past, assuming that they would inspire me to run more. But they don't. If you don't want to run, new shoes aren't going to do it for you. Just a pro tip. You psych yourselves up. You know, you come out of the gates hot, like you're excited, passionate, committed. Like, yeah, I'm absolutely going to crush these goals. I'm going to overcome these problems. You end up oftentimes maybe doing a little bit too much too soon. We can get injured or overwhelmed or discouraged. We don't see enough progress. And then at some point we either intentionally give up, or maybe we just kind of subconsciously, we just let that goal kind of die and float away from us, that dream die and float away from us, that relationship die and float away from us, because it becomes defeating. It becomes challenging. And there's this aspect of us where we want to be able to have a goal and achieve the goal. We want to be able to take the big step and get there quickly, effectively. But oftentimes, it's actually a lot more small, intentional steps. And that's what I want to talk about. The big idea, what I want us to hold on to, I'm going to tell you right now, and we'll look at a Bible story in the Old Testament that I think illustrates this. But resilience is the result of channeling your calling and your passions into incremental actions. There's an aspect of resilience, and this isn't all of it, but to become a more resilient person, to hold on to resilience in your life, it's this aspect of these incremental actions that help us, these small, consistent steps that help move us towards the thing that either we're passionate about, that we're dreaming about, that we're called to, a problem that we want to solve, something that we want to be able to overcome in our lives. And it's so crucial that we understand this. Because the reality is that every one of us have desires and dreams. And the best version of you and the best version of me is when I'm able to pursue and live those things out. In Ephesians, it says that God created each one of us specifically and uniquely, and that we were created for good works. Like, there's an intention and a reason and a purpose for you and for me. And as we lean into those things and as we live out those things, our families and our communities and our world is better because of it, because we're fully leaning into these things. And so what does it look like for us to take these incremental action steps? There's a story in the book of Judges. We're actually going to be looking at this story over the next 4 weeks. It's a long and really, really cool story. It's a story about a man named Gideon. And we're going to start off in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to drop right into the kind of the middle of this story. This takes place. Gideon is part of the nation of Israel, and they are God's children, and they are living under the impression that everything is supposed to be easy for them. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 2, it says, "The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all their sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help." This is a kind of a classic situation for Israel, where they are God's children, and yet it seems like they are totally on their own. They're struggling. They're facing every type of obstacle and problem and challenge that you can imagine. Their lives are not what they want them to be, and they're not really what they believe God has called them to be. So they cry out to God. And in verse 11, it says, "Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" Now, I think there's like a little bit of humor potentially in this. So in this situation, you know, he's threshing wheat, which is a pretty big process. You have, I don't know if anybody grew up in agricultural areas, but it's wheat is a tall thing, and there was this process where they would have this giant tool, and they would be threshing the wheat, and says he was doing it in the bottom of a wine press, so he had to be about 6 feet down in the ground. This wine press was dug into the ground, and he was doing it down in the ground so that nobody would be able to see what he was doing, because everybody kept attacking and taking all of their food, all their resources. So this guy is trying to thresh wheat in a small space underground, probably just enough to feed him and his family. And the angel of the Lord appears and says, "Mighty warrior." It's a crazy, crazy thing. "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Which I bet you guys didn't know you had a Bible verse memorized, because we've all said this. God, if you're with me, then what is happening here? Why is this this? Why is this falling apart? Why are they seeming to win? Why do I seem to never be able to experience the things that I hope for? What is it about me that is somehow so off base that nothing is happening the way that you've promised it would happen? If God is with me, then why is all this happening? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Again, this is a different language, it's a different time, but he's essentially saying, I've heard these stories, and you have too. You've seen the videos on the screens. You've heard from people in your small group or people on the patio after church or other people in your life. They talk about the way God's been faithful to them, and he's shown up, and he's restored their relationship, or he's provided for their financial strain. It's like, I've heard all of these stories, but I'm confused because I don't see that in my life. I'm not experiencing that in my life. That's not the perspective that I have. Gideon has the same assumption that we all do, which is that if God is with us, then everything should be fairly smooth. If God is with us, then I probably shouldn't have too many obstacles. If God's with me, then the obstacles I do have, surely I'll be able to beat quickly. Surely I can defeat these massive problems that are standing in front of me because God's with me. But God's promise isn't that when everything is good, he's with us. It's that he's with us even when things are falling apart. It's not God helps us get around the storm or over the storm. It's that Jesus is with us through the storm. And actually, in Jesus' teaching, he promises that we will have problems, that there will be challenges. There's this reality for us that I think a lot of times we let the obstacles in our life, we let the problems, we let the things that are getting in our way, we let them speak on behalf of God. Or we assume that they speak on behalf of God, maybe. That if things aren't easy or smooth or making sense all the time, that it must not be the right thing for me. I probably should pull back. Let me just stay in neutral, in my waiting position, until something easy comes up or something very clear comes up. I heard this years ago. I don't remember who said it, and it's like a total pastory type of thing to say. But it stuck with me, and I've said it here before. But I get in places and positions and situations in life where it feels like, man, it feels like everything is kind of working against me. I want to do this thing. I feel like I'm supposed to do this thing. I feel like I'm supposed to be going this direction, but it feels like there's 1,000 reasons not to. And this pastor, a number of years ago, they said, go until you get a no. Go until you get a no. And it's this idea that there's going to be obstacles and opposition and problems and challenges in life. And I know sometimes we get confused because it's this idea of like, well, if God closes a door, maybe he'll open a window. And, you know, there's all these different components. And I get that. But the obstacles themselves are not necessarily, I think that we come up to an obstacle and we just automatically assume, well, this just must not be the right thing. This must just not be worth it. This must just not be what God wants me to do, because if God's with me, then clearly I wouldn't have these issues. I wouldn't have these challenges. But I believe that God speaks to our hearts and our minds. I believe that God is very clear about what he wants us to do. I don't think it's a mystery. I used to think that it was like this, the greatest mystery of life is trying to figure out what God wanted for us. And I believe that it's really simple. It's down to how we love him and how we love others. And the rest of it is like icing on the cake. And if you want to pursue a dream or a calling, I believe that God is with you in that, and he wants to support you and encourage you in that. I think that there's a lot of freedom in this area. But we fall into this trap of believing that the obstacle is somehow speaking for God, on behalf of God. And if we begin to believe that with every obstacle that we're faced, then the world will be robbed of the things that God's calling us to do. The world will be robbed of you as a parent, or you as a friend, or you as a spouse, or you as an employee or a boss, because the obstacles, the challenges will keep you from fully stepping into it. There's this reality for Gideon where he's confused about the way he's identified as a mighty hero versus what he sees and how he's living. In verse 14, the story goes on and it says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you.'" Again, the strength that you have, which in that moment, he must have just not been real clear. It says, "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." What Gideon has done here is he has singled himself out as like the weakest person in all of Israel. There's 12 tribes in Israel, and then inside of each tribe, there's different clans. And so he's saying, my clan is the smallest in our tribe, and I'm the smallest in my family. There's everyone better than me for this job. Not that there's someone better. It's like anyone would have been better fit to be the mighty hero in this situation. Gideon does what all of us do when we get these challenges in our laps. I don't have the strength. I don't have the skill set. But he starts small and he takes this initial step. And the first thing that he does is he wants to test and make sure he's not totally losing his mind. Gideon replies, "If you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. And don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you." The angel answered, "I will stay here until you return." So Gideon goes and he gets these things for a sacrifice and he brings them back, and the angel of the Lord is still there. And story talks about how he puts it on the rock and the angel of the Lord touches it with its staff and it bursts up into flame. And so it's this sign. And I think that there is this piece of this where, again, there's this reminder of the small step or the small sacrifice of moving forward of, okay, let me just see if this is really you. Let me see if this is really the way I should go. Let me see if this is really the right direction for me to go. And I think for us, there's a lot of things that can be a small sacrifice that maybe God is inviting us to take. Because we all have the big dreams of what we would like to be, but getting there feels so distant and so hard that we never do anything. But I think that if we can take a small step, a small sacrifice. If you want to be a generous person, it's like, man, in my mind, being generous costs a lot of money. But I could also just buy one person's coffee every time I'm at Starbucks. That's a pretty small step, and it's pretty doable. And I could take that step. And it's a small sacrifice. I don't know if that alone is going to make me the generous person that I want to be, but the step in that direction helps me realize, you know what? I'm moving towards this thing that I want to be called to. Maybe for you, it's a desire for community or relationships. And maybe the small step, it's like, well, I'm not going to join a small group. I'm not going to show up. Some of you guys will, and that's great. But some of you guys are like, yeah, not I, said the little brown mouse. I don't know how the nursery rhyme goes. But some of you guys, there's no way you're going to show up to a small group, a midweek Bible study, and that's too big of a step for you. But maybe you could show up 10 minutes before service starts and commit to talking to one person. Maybe you could commit to staying 10 minutes after service ends on a Sunday and talking to one person. And that's not going to make you immediately have a best friend, But that's a small step, a small sacrifice that will put you on this path to potentially what God wants for you and what God has for you and what you really want for yourself. Some of you want to make an impact in the world around you. You want to be the type of person that shapes the world, that has, you know, leaves a legacy. And maybe a small step for you would be showing up to a serve event like we have coming up this Friday and on the 20th. You know, a couple months ago, we had our 6th birthday. And I'm going to talk, if you're a guest here, this is not about you. Welcome. Did you ever have somebody, did you ever go to a friend's house when you were younger and your friend got in trouble by their parents and you were just sitting there like, oh, this is awkward. That's what this is going to be. So we did this thing for our birthday where I invited people to call in and leave a voicemail of like what God has done through our church in their lives or how they've experienced God and what they have loved the most about our church. We started 6 years ago and it was beautiful and there were so many incredible messages. But what stood out to me is almost every message included something along these lines. I love that our church serves our community. That's great. I love that. But the numbers of people that actually show up to serve our community don't represent the numbers of voicemails that we got about it. I think that we love that those people serve our community, and I get the credit for it because my church serves the community. And it's just, there's an invitation here for us to say, hey, I'm going to take a small step, and I'm going to show up. I don't have to serve at every event, but I surely should serve at one or two of them. I surely can take a step forward. I surely can sacrifice some time. And again, I love that that's who our church is, and I love that you recognize that that's a beautiful thing. Let's do that together. Let's step into that together. Okay, I'm getting off track. Our natural inclination is that if there's something we want to accomplish, in our minds, I think most of us, we believe like it's this big step that I'm going to take and I'm going to be there. Like it's this big action step. It's this big swing, this big commitment, this big thing. And over again in Scripture and in our lives, we see that it's almost always just small steps over and over again in the direction that either God is calling us to go or that ultimately an area that we are passionate about going. Proverbs 16:9 is a passage that's quoted a lot. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And in my opinion, our plans always have to do like with one big step and arriving there. And the path that God has for us is always more like this. Weaving and winding and one small step after another small step. And we arrive and it becomes this beautiful place, but it's never the speed or the direction that we believed it was. So after Gideon takes his first initial small step, God gives him a slightly bigger task. Because remember, God says to this mighty hero who's hiding, I want you to defeat Midian. You're going to be a warrior who overcomes this enemy that everyone is terrified of. Before God sets him on that path, he gives him this task because in their community there was this this idol that they had set up, and this clan had begun to worship this false god, and God tells Gideon, I want you to go and tear down that idol. And Gideon is like, that's going to ruffle some feathers. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to become a great warrior or a mighty hero if everyone's upset at me for tearing down this idol or destroying this altar. And in 6 verse 27, it says, so Gideon took 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. It's like, okay, I'm going to take another small step, but I'm for sure going to do this when everybody's asleep. So people wake up. Everyone is upset. Everyone is upset with him, and his father comes to his defense. But again, it's this small step because I don't know if he could go from the wine press to leading an army, but he was able to take this small, courageous step in his community. and see that people were going to rally around him, that God was going to be faithful with him. Again, these small steps are so crucial. Jesus in Luke 16 said, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. We want to just get trusted with these massive things. Just trust me with $1 billion and see how generous I'll be. It's like, how about $5? And let's see how generous you can be. And if we can do it with five, we'll do it with $1 billion. And if we can carve time out for our community when, you know, things are the way they are currently in your life, you'll probably be able to do it later on. It's not like some switch gets flipped and we just turn into these people. It's small, incremental steps. So Gideon accepts God's challenge. He does this thing. Ultimately, people get upset with him, and he gets really nervous again about becoming a mighty hero and overcoming Midian. And so then it goes on in verse 36, and if it feels like this is going back and forth a lot, it is. It's a lot of small steps. It's a lot of asking questions. Verse 36, it says, then Gideon said to God, if you're truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I'll put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight, and if the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I'll know that you're going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that's just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed out the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl full of water. Another small step. And do you think that that one convinced him? No. It goes on. The next day, he says, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. I just really want to be certain. Let me use the fleece test one more time. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked, and the fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground around it was covered with dew. And again, I think just as a sub point, what I really want us to see and hear in this story is that it's not wrong to be really honest about how scared you are with God. It's not wrong to be insecure. It's not wrong to wonder, to have questions, to wrestle with these things. And actually, we all do. And the hope, the best case scenario, is that the insecurities and the fears, that they actually do drive us to our Heavenly Father. And that we're able to be honest about those things. We're able to be honest about saying, this feels insurmountable. This feels way too painful. This feels way too hard. I don't know how I can pull this off. God already knows these things about us. But when we say these things out loud, just like in a human relationship with another person, when we're honest about these struggles and these fears, these weaknesses, it develops intimacy and trust. It's like, I can be honest with God about these things, and he can handle it. And Gideon was so honest. It says in 1 Peter 5, to cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. There's this invitation over and over again for us to trust God with these things. In this story, God reminds Gideon that he is with him over and over again. And in such small but consistent ways, it fuels Gideon's faith, and he keeps taking bigger steps and bigger steps and bigger steps, and they're all in the right direction towards what God's called him to do, towards this goal that he has. I'm not going to tell you how the story ends, because we're going to be talking about it for the next 3 weeks. I'll tell you how the story ends. He ends up actually being a mighty hero, as you may imagine. He ends up actually being a mighty hero. And there's these components of it that is so important for us to recognize, that it's not because he got out of the wine press on day one and went and conquered an army. It's because he took these small, incremental, consistent steps in the direction that he felt like God was calling him to go. And over again, God showed himself to be faithful. Resilience is the result of channeling your calling and your passion into incremental action steps. And we want to move from like this heightened sense of inspiration to this bold declaration, this commitment of I'm going to do this thing, to this big, impressive action step, to there, I did it. But most often in our lives, God does things through these small steps. God does these big things through small steps. So what does it look like for us to start? What does it look like for us to take a step? I know people that have not done things because they just kind of felt like they were too old to do them. Like, I don't want to start now. I've done that, actually, a number of times. And I'm not going to tell you what it was because I'm insecure about it. We all do these things. There's a sense of like, man, not now. Maybe if it was like 10 years ago. I should have done that when I was 18. I should have just picked a different major then. I'm not going to go back to school now. We just have this tendency to say, no, it's too late. I'm not going to do that now. It's too much, too late. There's another story where we don't have time to look at it, but Israel is trying to rebuild the temple, and it's not going as quickly as they want it to go. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. This is what the prophet said. He says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Even just beginning, God is thrilled. God is pleased. He delights. He rejoices in the first step of starting the work. It is rarely, if ever, about the destination in our human existence. It is about the journey. And that's why Jesus invites us to come and follow him. That's why we always talk about taking a next step, because this destination idea is, it can be so defeating and discouraging, but the journey, the beauty, the growth, the health, it comes in taking one step after another towards these things that God's calling us to pursue. There's an author, or there was, he's passed away a couple years ago, but Eugene Peterson, author and theologian, and just like the sweetest kind of grandfatherly, you could kind of pick up on the grandfatherly vibes in his writing, in his preaching. And he said this, quote, he says, "The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction that thereby results and has always resulted in the long run something which has made life worth living." And this idea, the long obedience in the same direction, it just speaks to this idea that it is just these incremental actions moving towards these things that we're passionate about, the dreams that we have. Or maybe it's towards the problems that have been dropped off on your front porch. Maybe it's towards the goals that you've created with your spouse or with your family. The long obedience in the same direction, it is not the coolest way to succeed. It's not the flashiest way to succeed. But I believe it is one of the primary ways that we can have the resilience to make it towards these things that God's called us to do. Let's pray together. Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.